Okay, it's 5:03. We started late here.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, staff, council. Tonight we're talking on this budget session revenues. Sam put together on property tax and neighboring communities, and he passed that out to you in terms of whether the neighboring cities have taken any property tax increases the last few years. You can see that, get that chart. It's not the real big one. It's kind of the skinny one.
What does this mean with SUMAS? SUMAS can't take any more?
Yeah,
I'm just curious what that means.
Yeah, all jurisdictions, be it a port or a hospital or a city or a school, are limited by the Constitution as to how many dollars per thousand they can levy.
Oh. Okay.
The limits for cities is $3.10.
Okay.
So that was just an information sheet. Ferndale, we haven't taken anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, 10, 11, I said 310, 360. No, 310.
It was in the fire district, right?
Yeah, that's the fire.
Which is why you encourage us to keep the fire district arranged. It maximizes our levy.
Exactly.
So that's just kind of background. And the other chart, do you want to talk about that, Sam?
The other chart is Councilmember Musser's chart, so I would invite him to at least start discussing it.
Okay. Shall we do that now that we're talking about the handout?
I'm not in any hurry, really.
Okay. Well, let me just kind of go over the general stuff. We're talking about revenues tonight for next year's budget, and hopefully you've had a chance to look at the revenue graphs we put out in the email and on the website. In particular, we want to look at the sales tax. It's been very strong the last few months, and so I've printed this graph, which is really kind of hard to see, but it shows the 2013 the sales tax number of revenue that's in this draft budget. And overlaid is the 2012 sales tax so far through 12 months. Same line. So, you know, if you just project two more months this year, I've allowed for, you know, to kind of live lower than the last 2 months. But it's not a big stretch to take the same number projected for next year on sales tax. That's really helped us to come to a preliminary budget in the general fund of a $50,000 surplus at this point. And that's kind of worst-case scenario as far as labor costs, labor contracts. We've got all the department inputs. Excluded from that are the several expenditure decision cards, including the nonprofits, including flower baskets, including a couple things for the planning department, which I think are necessary.
So we're up about 50.
Plus 50.
And that's mostly...
Well, it takes impact like the recent decision by the auditors not to audit every year on the accountability. It saves us 8 to 10 grand or more next year. So we put that number in. They're only quoting like 6 grand next year. I double-checked with them. Anyway. So we're at plus 50 right now. And that'll be handed out later on tonight.
Excluding all the decisions.
There's a few decision cards there, the nonprofits. Like I said, a couple of things that Dora needs in the planning development department related to GMA and aerial mapping and flower baskets. So there aren't that many. One late arriver, which we've been talking about for a long time, is the fourth operator at the water plant. That's over in the enterprise funds. Preparatory funds, self-funded water sewer storm, not the general fund. So generally on sales taxes, that's helped us get to our plus 50. And, you know, each day goes by, we'll learn a little more specifics, but we have most of the numbers in. Fire district could blow up on us. I don't think so. We put in a 3% increase for fire district. We're hoping that more and more of that industries at Cherry Point assessed value will pop up. Therefore, change the ratio.
I've had meetings last week with both refineries, and BP Cherry Point's improvements was $396 million. Phillips was a little under $100 million. So there's just no way that their property assessment should go the other way. Unless that's the strangest math I've ever seen. I brought it up both of them. They go, what? There's no way it's going to happen. So I think we're safe on fire.
Yep. And another good piece of news with our liability and casualty insurance, just about stayed the same. We're counting on an increase there. Right? So all those things added up are plus 50 now.
What happened with our union negotiation?
Ongoing.
I've got the worst case scenario in. I think the worst case scenario for the city is in the 50 grand.
Lloyd, Mark, what's the amount of the liability and casualty insurance?
We pay well over 300 grand for our liability, casualty, and vehicle and equipment insurance. It's a big number.
Yeah. Now we had another company bid for a reduction, but our insurance policy has to give a 12-month opt-out, and so when we presented a different price on our insurance, so they're not allowing you to opt out, so there's no savings.
Too late.
So we're getting a letter that says, "Well, here's our notice to opt out for 13, 14, 15." 16, 17. We're never going to get in that corner again.
Did we find out if it was cheaper?
The other company?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the other thing, expenditure that the council has been talking about is another police officer. In fact, you talked about it at your retreat in January this year. Pavilion. Not on decision card, but
we're
talking about. So
we're
plus 50.
Mark, you got one more fire.
Thank you.
Are we okay? I've got one more. So anyway, you've seen this before, I trust, at least in committees. This is our property tax thing, including our bank capacity. I know there's a lot of numbers on here, but there's kind of a big number of $130,000. That's our current max at council could take. That's about a little over 6% of our current property tax value that we submitted last year. And you could take 0 or 1% would cost a typical $250,000 home $4.97 a year. That's a 1% property tax increase that would bring into the city $21,645. And you can keep going down there, 2%, 3%, and on the right-hand side, just multiply that $4.97, or if you will, $5, is 1%, $10 is 2, $15 is 3, $20 is 4. There's a nice round number, $20 bill. Anywho, that's for your consideration. As you know, we need to pass our property tax ordinance by the end of November, the end of this month.
And FTE police is?
Well, full up with a spouse and two kids is right about $100,000 plus a vehicle. Yeah.
Would it just buy a new vehicle?
Well, eventually.
Well, you gotta have them drive something.
We've got a couple spares.
We could use the vehicles we already have.
We could use the ones we have.
We got a couple spares that are still colored, that white color, not that black and white.
Gary, can we? Excuse me. In a paper, something was written that we were trying to get a new police officer. I can see where he gets that idea because what was said here tonight. We're not getting a new police officer. We had 19 when I left in 2010.
Correct.
We're down to 17.
Correct.
So we're just replacing at least one of what we've lost. So it's not new.
Okay. Yeah. I think also notice, it, not trying to be critical of the reporter or anything, but say we added two new officers. Well, they were just replacements,
Yeah.
We've got one
of the bloggers jumped all over that.
Two new.
About what they could have. They added two for kind of, what do they want?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, we used, the two were just replacements.
Yeah.
We added them to cover resignations and other reasons why others have left.
Yeah, we're still at 17 commissioned officers, no openings at this point, and we were at 19 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's the chiefs, the lieutenants, the sergeants, everybody, 17 commissioned officers. Two support staff. We used to have four. Did our layoffs in 2009. It was significant, pretty much citywide. So there you are as far as the printout on the property. That's a fairly new number, 130 grand. I got that from the assessor last week. So that's an official number. The other thing that's in front of us, unless you want to talk some more about property tax, is one of the council members brought up the penny border gas tax. So I made copies of last year's revenue decision card. I've updated it somewhat for Blaine's revenue almost the last 2 years.
They're doing very well on this penny border gas tax.
Do you maybe it's not, how many stations again do they have? I know that's not an apples to apples, but we have like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I recall we've got 10 or 11, and in here somewhere is how many Blaine has.
Well, there's a few here. There's a couple here.
Eight gas stations. There you go. Fernlow has 11 as of a year ago, and I think that's unchanged. Wait. The Arco station in Grandview, that might be in number 12.
We have more stations than Blaine? I find that hard to believe.
All right, then.
Based on state information.
And they could bring in 234.
Loads of them closed.
Yeah, annualized. They got in 176 through September.
Where are you?
I'm sorry. I'm on the very front page of this handout on revenue decision card.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, this was last year's thing. I just got to sit down. My initials are MD, and I get a lot of mail for medical conventions and things like that. I never go. Anywho, as you recall, this is a vote of the people. If you're within 10 miles of the Canadian border, you can do this. It's a penny a gallon. One change from last year's proposal was on the cover sheet. Last year I proposed that we exempt the first 50,000 gallons per month. That exemption idea kind of went away. It's just whatever it is. It's just a guesstimate between 50 grand and 100 grand for Ferndale. If all the gas stations complied and sent us a check every month.
Does that include the diesel?
Yeah, it does. So you can see last year we had a resolution all ready to go here and had a list of projects. So anywho, there it is.
Did we do an estimation of election costs?
Sam was looking at it.
The auditor's office has not gotten to me yet. Apparently there's something else she's doing
right
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Just lazy.
Yeah, she's elected.
Well, there you go.
Politician. Do you remember the guesstimate from last time?
It's going to be completely different. Last time there were school districts involved, so the costs would probably be lower than what they would be this time.
It would be school district or city?
Excuse me?
Would it be just city, right? City or school district?
The school districts will not have anything. I called them.
Okay, so just be, but I mean, the vote would be just in the city.
Apparently, there's going to be some. There might be one other issue on the ballot, which would help maybe mitigate the cost a little bit. But until we get an actual projection from the auditor's office, I wouldn't venture a guess as to what it would cost. It cost us $12,000 last time about there.
But that was for. Will it just be for the city? Just you have to live within the city to get the ballots, or will you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's just within city limits.
So we paid what, 12? You say for the TBD.
The last one for TBD with other jurisdictions also paying for a portion of the costs.
Okay.
So if it doesn't pass, we eat it. I mean, there's an investment.
I'm kind of taken aback by the potential numbers.
If
Blaine is at over 200.
They're right there on the border.
Busy border stations, and we have 10, 11 stations.
Yeah, totally different.
I know that. But you're north of
50 grand, 100 grand. I may be a little low, but who knows?
I think you're going to, between the Arco station, Grandview, and Pilot.
Prices are good. Pilot, build it today.
And I do believe last year I tried very hard to, I got all the state's weights and measurements and everything to try to find gallons, how many were actually used, and no one had those statistics that I could find. So I'll keep trying, but that would really help us get an idea of what to bring in. But
they probably don't.
So we're basically blaming.
How can they not know when they actually have their tax money of whatever 35 cents a gallon is
paid? Yeah.
I know.
Because they're getting it.
I emailed four different state agencies, and no one could give me an answer last year.
You don't have a need to know, apparently.
I haven't done it this year.
There's not enough bureaucracy down there. We need another division to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for a standard form. Blaine uses a locally prepared form, just like our solid waste tax form. That's a locally prepared form paid by two outfits.
Okay. Anyway. When are we going to make these we're talking about all these different things. Are we going to make decisions tonight? I mean, we have to decide property tax.
The power
tonight.
Is in your hands.
Me personally?
You have a property tax public hearing.
All right, guys, that's what we're going to do.
During the regular meeting?
Did we include a draft ordinance in the packet?
Just for property tax.
Just for property tax.
Property tax, you have a public hearing tonight. So that decision is, you don't have to make the decision tonight, but you could. The gas tax will be on the next agenda.
And we do need a public hearing for
we
that?
We do not technically need a public hearing for that, but I'm going to have one anyway.
Yeah, you want to hear from the gas station owners.
We'd still have that public comment, but we might as well take the official step of legally noticing a public hearing.
Did we do that for the 2% sales tax?
The point of
we did have a public hearing.
Yeah, we did.
Had a public hearing for that?
For that we were required to, but it was a different section of state law.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure the owners would like to come talk about that penny penny that makes them uncompetitive.
All of them, no one spoke. One spoke, but in favor.
One gas station owner?
No, for the TVD.
The TVD.
Yeah.
That money's rolling in. We got 27 grand in September and 30 grand in October.
Very nice.
I was just curious what we're paying now on gas taxes. And it's 37.5 is the state portion and 18.4 is the federal portion. So a penny is a pretty small amount, and we get to keep it all. You know, it's... Everything else goes somewhere else, and we have to twist arms to get it back. And I still like it.
Especially well, you could vote tonight, couldn't you?
No.
I don't want to vote tonight.
I didn't put an ordinance
no.
or a resolution.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And not to throw...
Well, should we prepare an ordinance for you?
I mean, but we'll prepare. Both the refineries last week are... not completely sure, but fairly certain that legislature, there will be another 9 cents proposed by the state for road projects. You know,
wow.
We had the nickel. The last one was the nickel, and this next one is supposedly going to be a 9 cent
per barrel or something like that.
No, that's not the road tax. That's the gas tax.
It's a gallon, but from the state. If you look at what John was, you know, I mean, the biggest portion is state.
So that's good to watch.
The last one was the nickel was 2006,
2007.
But if you look at our...
Really? That long ago?
No, I thought it was earlier. No, I thought it was 2006.
I just looked it up today.
Yeah, anyway.
Wasn't there also a 7 or a 9 in there?
The 7 was before that, and the last one was the nickel.
Yeah.
And then they had a specific...
Which one was the referendum?
I thought the nickel.
That was the barrel tax.
No, it's a gallon. You were talking. Are you talking? They're going to have a barrel tax.
Yeah,
that's what I was talking about. On that was the one that didn't go through. The barrel tax was for stormwater. It's called the
Matka Control Act.
Yeah. Matka funds.
Yeah.
2003 was the nickel package.
The referendum on the nickel passed rather handily to keep it.
You are correct.
It tells me people want roads.
Mm. And that was the 9 cents, too.
2003 was the nickel package, and 2005 was 9.5 cents.
Mm. Our problem is we just don't get any money up here.
Well, that's the thing. But what I like about it is, at the end of the day, with our TBD money, we're going to be close to a rough, maybe $500,000 a year for streets and streets only. And I see Janice smiling over there. Janice smiling.
If this is a local form.
Yes.
How do you get the gas stations to report properly?
How do we get the solid waste tax people to report properly? We would say we're subject to audit, and we'll send our code enforcement guy out there and look at his reports he's sending to the state.
I guess you could ask to see the books.
Get a copy of the state report attached.
Yeah.
So. We'd have to push the state harder to, if they know what they're getting, enough.
Well, the gas station has to submit it monthly, I assume. So they got a form. So here's how many gallons I pumped. Here's your state. Here's your federal.
Could we write the ordinance so that they have to provide a copy of their state form?
I think it'd be reasonable.
There you go.
Yes. The old gambling tax used to be that way. You had to submit a copy of your report to the State Gambling Commission. And the figure better match.
You copied it and then mailed that directly to the city with the check?
Along with the city's form. Correct.
And just a note on Blaine, the finance director told me 2 weeks ago they have 10 gas stations, so we had eight in the report of a year ago. I don't know if they've opened two or
reopened.
Or maybe reopened. But anyway, he says he's got 10. And boy, they sure need that money because they use it for roads.
I also am curious about the Linden's election tomorrow on their TBD and, you know, kind of see how that goes.
Yeah, and that whole
kind of bellwether-ish.
Thing.
The Y vote will be interesting.
All that stuff and, you know.
Anyway, anything more, any information we can provide on the penny border gas tax?
It'd be nice if you knew how much.
Any other questions on revenues? If not, I can pass out.
Well, if we do the vote would happen in April?
February or April.
When would we start collecting, seeing the money?
Well, since it has nothing to do with the Department of Revenue, because they let it have to start on our first month of a quarter, I would think a reasonable amount of time after passage, like 3 weeks. Maybe a month and 3 weeks. I don't know.
So we would get it next
simple
year.
Math,
we get some money next
figure.
Year.
Oh, yeah, it'd probably come in.
How many gallons?
You know. So we'd get our money August 31st if we start the quarterly thing. Start August 31st.
It's a pretty small amount. If gas is $4 a gallon, I know we're going to be said it's a lot. I understand that from our friends down the street, but it's a quarter of a percent on a $4 gallon of gas.
I would suggest that it might be smart if you have a February election to set up so that you start it on the beginning of the quarter, first of April, which gives them time to get their machines changed and all that. Whatever they have to do.
They can do that daily.
Well, yeah.
I don't think there's any machines.
They do it hourly in some
sense.
It would be rather difficult if you held
but by Memorial Day weekend, which
second week in February to try and get everything organized from a booking standpoint.
Yeah.
So you could be joined by the 1st of March. But the 1st of April would be very logical.
Sure.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I just want to bring up something that the refinery manager from ConocoPhillips mentioned on Friday. And that's at the demand for gas nationally is decreasing, consistently decreasing. Has nothing to do anymore with driving seasons, holiday seasons, vacation time. It's going down. They are exporting currently more gasoline from the United States than we're burning. So it's very interesting when we start talking about these penny border gas tax. I think we better be, as Mark usually is, very conservative in our estimations, because if indeed those trends continue, and it's, according to her, it's all kinds of factors in it. It's the more efficient automobiles, people driving less because of the cost of fuel, all kinds of things involved in that reasoning for that decrease in demand. But the decrease in demand is very real, and it's very consistent.
Councilperson Metzler?
Mark, maybe you could check in Blaine. I mean, I'm kind of staggering. 2010, 122, 2011, 185, 2012. I mean, they really are. It is jumping really dramatically there. So.
Does the price of gas in Canada keep going up?
It's been a strong Canadian dollar. Help people move over the border.
That's really.
Yeah. Canadian dollar is almost at parity right now.
Mark. It's not on the price of the gas, it's on the gallon.
Well, what's going to be interesting for us now, we
have
pilot, all those trucks that are constantly rolling through there now, you know, buying 200 to 300 gallons of gas at a time.
They're lining up over there.
Yeah. There's a waiting line of trucks to get in there to fuel.
And I've been very surprised that we haven't seen the fuel lines there for gasoline, because their price is within a nickel of Costco most of the time.
All right. I filled up over there for $3.65 this weekend.
Can we save this discussion for next time? Because we have the nonprofits to cover, too.
Sure. Do you want to talk about the decision cards on the expense side?
Yeah.
Let's pass this draft budget out. This is at City Hall, and I think on the website, the preliminary budget.
Don't drop it on
yourself. Yeah.
Shovel side. My bad. Almost.
I was going to say, it's still warm.
What is this?
Now we're going to talk about the operating budget and the capital budget on the expense side, mostly.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, do we need any more handouts, or are we all set there? The city administrator put a budget message together. And
no money for public works.
Yep. And you kind of get into this thing. Page two is just some key points and assumptions. You've seen these before. And point seven is kind of interesting on page two, is the medical insurance up an estimated 6% for Regents. So all the health insurance increases makes for a $40,000 hit to the general fund. And, you know, last several years we've had health insurance, medical insurance increases from Regents of 16, 13, 10, and now 6. Pretty hard to absorb those costs. We haven't laid off anybody. Well, we did do our development engineer was it last year, but it's just tough to absorb those, and apropos to the property tax discussion. Let me draw your attention to page 3 of the handout. This shows, we always want to keep our eye on our cash reserves and what percentage of cash balances as it relates to our stated goals, our stated reserve goals. So for the general fund, for 2012, we're projecting a 66% of our goals. That's on page 3. And we're projecting, at this point, 77% and improving as the years go toward our general fund reserves. This is important when we go to the bond market.
Do you show us not adding anything to left from 2013? Is that correct?
I will get to that, but let me just draw your attention to page 5, which is the expenditures part of the general fund, and then the surplus. If you look at the 2013 column at the bottom, the surplus currently on this preliminary budget, operating budget, is $50,779. That excludes these decision cards we'll talk about. And it gets a little hairy in the years out only because we intend to divert $200,000 of sales tax to the street fund starting in 2014. We'll see if we can actually do that, but right now it puts us in a negative position. Let's jump to page eight, to address the left one fund. The proposed budget for 2013 on the left one is to put $60,000 into the fund from our source, which is solid waste utility tax. If you look at the bottom fund balance, it doesn't really do much to our fund balance. $275,000 predicted this year end and $276,000 next year end. So we're not really building that reserve because of limited and other commitments from the solid waste tax fund, which is on the next page. So that's kind of a tough one. Now, the auditors are okay as long as we're contributing. We're a cash basis. We don't even have a balance sheet as a GAAP would require. It'd be a big number, whether it be my number or the actuary's number. Actuary is about $700,000 to $800,000. Mine's like, worst case, $6 million.
Mark, we talked. You and I had talked. We could move some of our general current year surplus line 104 is $125,000. We could.
You could.
If that still exists in January, move some of that to those needed funds.
You could.
And I think that's
general fund revenues, including property tax, sales tax, utility taxes, it can be used anywhere.
I was going to ask to follow up, what normally would be done with that type? We haven't had a lot of surplus lately, but what would normally happen to a surplus like that?
Just stays in the general fund.
Okay, and the general fund surplus is, we're meeting our goals there, as I recall.
Well, if you look at page 3, when you look at the general fund in its entirety, which according to the auditors, it includes solid waste, our two reserve funds, and left one. You know, we're at 66% at the end of this year toward our goals, okay, and 77% next year toward our goals. But just strictly looking at the general fund, current expense fund number 001, our projected balance next year, at the end of next year, is $1,016,000, and our reserve goal, which is kind of low, but it's 10%.
Where's that again?
It's 10% of revenues, is $693,000, just the general fund 001. So in that sense, yes, we're predicting that we have more than the reserve target for the general fund by itself. When you look at the bigger general fund, which includes all five funds, we're kind of hurting because, you've got the left one in there and the other two funds.
I would like to ask counsel if we could do that in January, look at the possibility of moving some of those funds into left one. I'd also like to consider library fund at that time as well.
As soon as we know your numbers, which probably will be, since I have to keep the books open through January 20th, according to the auditors, it'd be early February to have those numbers for you.
It would also depend on whether we do property tax and all these other increases, too. I mean, that's going to change everything.
Right, because zero property tax increase in this draft budget.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of highlights, and we were talking about solid waste. That's on page 9. If you look at those expenditures, those commitments, ongoing debt service, and ongoing funding of some positions in the general fund. The rest of this, there's a lot of debt service stuff. You can look through it at your leisure. The very last page, I want to point out, we have a capital facilities budget, which is required to have not only an operating budget, but a capital facilities budget. You look on page 37, the last page, there's $0 for 2013, so it's kind of easy to talk about. But there's some things listed there. But by God, we have a capital facilities budget as required. All right. So we can talk about the decision card, the expenditure decision cards, and Sam, they're in the packet.
Yeah, in the packet. Yes.
Okay, tab. I didn't bring that with me.
Are they just
page 8 is where they begin.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have 4 or 5 of them here. Let's run through them. This page 1 is the administration's suggested budget for 2013 on the nonprofits. The short answer is the same as 2012. For the Teen Court, Ferndale Food Bank, Domestic Violence Services, and Senior Center. And then zero for the Community Service Co-op in 2013, and zero for the Western Washington Center for Economic Vitality. So that would be the proposed decision card for the nonprofits. Discussion?
No, in the electronic.
Remember, we're at 50, so this would take it down
November 5th,
by 13.
Can you all caught up to speed? I know there's going to be probably some discussion on this one.
Where is it? I spoke about that. Looks like this.
Did you get the electronic?
Start learning stuff.
Everything should still be page 8.
Yeah. Could be page 8, and then kind of give me the nod when you're up to speed, then we'll start discussion.
If you go to the agenda and click on study session, it takes you right there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. There's a little box around study session.
She was putting me in the wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
She didn't know what she was doing.
That's why now I'm
girls.
Oh, no.
So in that world,
it's hard. It's just hard.
Well, we'd like to have discussion on, so we kind of know the direction, the 2013 budget expenditure decision card.
Yes.
Yeah, the first
one. I'm still on.
Can you actually help him? Because it looks like he's opening up the correct PDF.
Head support.
So precious.
This is not the electronic copy?
There are two versions that went out.
Testing.
Why would it say?
Oh, the update.
Electronic devices in front of them.
Exciting, isn't it?
So again, Mark's at, he's a 50 surplus. If you did this, you'd drop it down by the 1350. On those requests, what we have excluded is the service co-ops.
Can we ask why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What we did is we wanted to present what was last year's total. So what was last year? We we basically matched what everybody did last year with the exclusion of the service co-op.
And I think the reason is that the service co-op made an indication last year that they wouldn't be back.
I know. But do we actually expect our nonprofits to never, ever come back to us? If some board member happened to say, okay. And as I recall, I mean, I wasn't on council at the time, but I thought the city formed the service cooperative, the resource center, because it was meeting a need. And so I guess I don't understand why, if you thought the resource center was so important, why now do we not want to give them the money to have a director who's going to be there to make sure the volunteers are there in time, to make sure the work source person gets trained? I don't understand why we just completely zero them out. I can see that maybe this year we don't want to spend as much because we want them to go find more money, and they did have a good year with the Lummi, but I'm not comfortable with creating something and then not funding it.
We do the space, of course, the heat and lights and that sort of thing.
That certainly is up for discussion.
Okay. Because, I mean, they're here if you have any questions about where the money would go, service cooperative staff.
One clarification, I don't know if the city formed the cooperative. I think we worked in partnership. We provided the space, but last year was the first year we provided funding of that magnitude to the organization. I don't think we did
that. That's the first year they had a director who was not going to be a volunteer.
But it wasn't the first year that the city... So, I mean, what you're saying, though, is, like, why would we fund it? But that's the first year we actually funded it, and mm-hmm. they've been operating for years prior to that. But I understand what you're saying.
And
prior, they were funded by a federal grant.
I believe we funded
they
some
had a Vista.
Telephone costs.
Yes.
They had a Vista employee. The person who was doing it was funded by Vista program. So.
Councilperson Mixler?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure the process that you want. I mean, we're going to have a time before this is all said and done to focus on these nonprofits, or was that going to be now? Or
we've got some time. It's 5:36, so now is a good time.
Yeah, and I thought about this, and again, we've all said this. We think they're all great groups. I think the state constitution directs us if the city decides to help these nonprofits. And I'd rather wait before any commitments until we've settled the dust and everything else. I don't think I'm prepared to make a decision. The two that I think that fit the mandate of the constitution the best, which is helping, quote, the poor and the infirm, is the food bank and the service cooperative. The other groups are wonderful and everything, but those are the two that seem to meet what the state is asking us to do when we do these things. So those are the only two that I'm prepared to support right now. Mr. Peterson indicated some concerns that he had about some of the other ones, and some of the concerns that I have is some of those groups have more reserves in terms of operating capital than the city does. In terms of going forward a few months. And
that's true with the food bank, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much they have. I inquired, never found out.
120.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councilman Goodrich?
I would like to come back to this after we look at the other decision cards. Because to me, some of these are extra, it's like in your own personal budget. Mm-hmm. They're kind of, if I have money, then I do these things. I'd like to go through the other ones and get some decisions on those, see where we're at, and then come back to this, because I have some questions on some of these, as well.
That works. Yeah, that's fine.
Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Page two is one that I would recommend we do. It's actually charged to the computer fund. It's a laptop for Craig Bryant, our building inspector. For next year, $2,500.
Page nine.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Our page nine is
what
page two.
What kind of laptop is that? That seems to be like three times the laptop cost.
Yuri, do you want to handle that one?
$2,300.
Yeah, it's a laptop plus software plus the wireless card, so that the inspector, we've gone much more digital than we used to be, trying to have codes online, trying to actually do the inspections, the data entry online too, while keeping him connected to the city. So
if we broke it down, I mean, wireless is what, $45 a month or something?
Northwest Technology, and we didn't include it, we could certainly provide it, gave us an estimate where everything is broken down into
it. One's providing the computer?
Yeah, we buy all of our stuff through them. They manage our IT for us.
Yeah, I would love to see what kind of pricing he's providing. That just seems... If we did $50 a month card, that's going to give us $600.
Does this have CAD software and the like? I'm just wondering.
No, I don't believe it
does. Is that one of those rugged ones that with the aluminum cases like the police officers have, or are we talking a laptop like this?
If it's going to be out,
it would be much more rugged than that. Better
waterproof, then if it's, mudproof.
Yeah, if it's one of those rugged ones, then they're expensive to begin with. Yeah.
Because you can drop them and get them wet.
Yeah.
Do we have some sort of contract that we have to buy all of our stuff through them? Is that
something
on the
And we shopped that contract a month and a half ago and found them to be 50% under what someone else did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
I should probably say that.
So this isn't in the budget right now. This is just a something.
These are all not in the budget. These are decision cards for your consideration.
Thank you.
We can come back to that. We can bring the invoice, bring the quote next time.
Yeah, and realize that not all these expenditures come out of the general fund. Like this would be out of the computer fund, so it's outside of that. If you're kind of keeping the math for the $50,000, this would be outside of that.
Okay.
And we have funds in there for that?
Yeah.
So can we do like a show of hands who's supporting what? Or?
I know how
we'd.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then
I would support this.
Yeah,
would you? Okay. That's all a yes.
Yeah. General consensus.
Okay.
That's computer fund. Alrighty. Was that a yes, pretty much?
Yes. It was a very excited yes.
Aerial photography and pictometry software.
I have that one too.
$4,000.
Sure. So the last map that we have is from 2006. Those are very expensive aerial photography flyovers that happen where if the city were to do this by ourselves, it would cost about $11,000 or $12,000 to get that flyover, and then to have the composite made. What's happening is the county, every single jurisdiction, the tribe, the port, both tribes actually, and a couple of other groups are partnering in on the flyover for the entire county, which is $144,000 to do. Our share of that would be $4,000 this year, or 2013, and then $4,000 the next year. So we use our aerial photography probably literally hundreds of times a day with staff. This is also the same aerial photo that Google and Bing utilize. We've asked the question of we would like them to contribute more. But overall, by spending a total of $8,000 for this, the city saves $3,000 in what we feel is an essential component of our day-to-day activities.
And like the last time, this is providing staff the tools they need.
Absolutely.
This is
one of the more vital tools that we use.
It's a no-brainer for me, personally.
Well, I thought we just we can't use Google Earth.
Right.
They're using our data.
If we did not participate, or any of the other jurisdictions, the Google resolution would be much less clear. It would be like a 3-meter resolution or something like that, less than what you see right now.
So our citizens will also have access to the data?
Through Google, yes. Okay. And through our GIS software, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we partnered or did something a couple of years ago, not 2006, but since I've been on the council, I thought we participated in some sort of aerial photography deal.
In 2006, 2008, 4 years ago, I believe, we had another flyover that happened. That is the one that we currently use on GIS. It's not the big mapping that we have. So that's probably what you're thinking about. Either way, we have something that's going to be 5 years old, and it's something that we do depend on to be more recent than 5 years old. It doesn't have Ferndale Station. It doesn't have any of the new developments that we have. It's not accurate as far as wetland mapping. They become dated quite quickly, unfortunately.
Do you have the money?
We can have the money if council wants to go
into. We start out with 50.
Because it's a community development, I thought.
But it would be out of the general fund.
General fund.
I thought it was coming.
So do we have the money? That's a question. Is that a show of hands? $4,000?
If we do it, the $4,000 this year, we have to do the $4,000 next year?
Yes, sir.
What after 2 years? 3 years? 4 years?
Is that an every year thing?
That could be council's decision as far as how old you feel comfortable with utilizing the technology. I think that right now they're planning on doing a flyover once every 2 years or possibly once every 3 years. So if we participated each year, then we'd be looking, yes, at about $4,000 per year.
But we have the option of next year saying...
Of bailing.
We can opt out.
Exactly. We would be in for 2013 and 2014.
So we'd be in for $4,000 and then another $4,000.
You're correct.
Pierre, can you give an example to how this is helpful to you?
Make it good.
Yeah, gosh, you know, what's the best way of doing it? The software that we're going to be able to get is going to allow us to measure setbacks aerially. It's going to allow us to truth test as far as enforcement. Did you build this year, or was that there before? It's going to allow us to measure the height of buildings to see anything from enforcement to it helps us having that resolution to do our sewer modeling, our pump stations, things like that.
The resolution is that much better? It's that different?
Oh, yeah. You can get down so you can actually see the manhole covers, and it's
we
so close that
fences.
You can actually... You could measure fences. No, quite literally. Okay. I don't think that there is a staff person in City Hall that uses a computer on a regular basis that also doesn't use the aerial photographs every day.
Mm-hmm. This is also the map that we tell political candidates to use to figure out where to put their signs.
Well, let's go.
I just want to know they're going to tell me when they're going over so I can mow my yard and put all my stuff away. I just want to, because those current pictures now, I like, that's
that
one
deck.
Messy guy.
Yes, you probably won't be doing either of those things because they want to do it when it's leaf bare so that they can see through the trees a little bit more. That was one of the problems in 2008 where they did it too late.
So we probably could bend this one and then maybe one more before break. So do we want to show hands?
$4,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
The next one is kind of similar. The Planning and Community Development Department is the cost share in the UGA planning study. Cost share with the county, Gary?
Yes. We're required to plan according to Growth Management Act. The 2016 urban growth area relook that's mandated by the state is coming up. All jurisdictions are involved in the planning study. Our share on a per capita per population basis would be a total of $8,139. That's broken up by $3,000 in 2013, $4,000 in 2014, and the remainder in 2015. Again, all jurisdictions are paying the exact same amount per person. Ours is just less than Linden's, a little bit more than Blaine's.
And it's general fund.
Yeah.
It's general
fund. Okay.
So it's professional services, but it's general fund.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah, it really is.
But it's new. It wasn't in this year, so it's. And Yori was following the rules. Anything new, by golly?
Well, we
decision card.
We bring your surplus down to about $43,000.
That's $3,000 if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So show of hands on this one. Okay, so you're down to about $43,000 plus.
And the last one was pretty quick. Flower baskets. We had $3,000 in this year. We paid the chamber $3,000 for flower baskets. He asked for $5,000, so I took everything out. So there's nothing in there right now for flower baskets. So he's asked for $5,000, and there's a bunch of pages of support here.
They're really good at playing. But $3,000, I don't see. We're cutting back on some of the others. What they got last year, I don't see.
Yeah.
$3,000.
Yeah.
No.
I'd keep it at $3,000.
And this is the maintenance of the hanging baskets.
Yeah.
Not the maintenance. Not the maintenance.
This is purchasing additional
ones. We purchased that. The chamber maintains them.
Brings you down to 36 if you go on this one.
How many of them do they buy?
Oh, there's like 40. It's Second Avenue and Main Street.
This summer it was 110.
What?
And I think what they want to do next year is 125.
They're getting them to the Pentagon?
No, they're getting them to the
Pentagon.
They're $60.
You can. They would be satisfied with any amount you gave, but they've asked for this.
Doesn't the price of each one basket also include the watering of them also?
Correct.
Well, his attachment shows $6,000 for purchase and $4,500 for watering contract, $10,500.
I thought there was a volunteer.
No.
They pay old Bob.
So, he's old Bob. Direction, old Bob. You want to keep it 3 or you want to go for 5 or?
Go for three.
Three.
I had a question. The UGA.
$38,000.
The UGA came out of general?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was 16 coming out of general, pictometry and UGA.
Right?
16 and now another 3 out of general?
I tried that today.
19,
I have nothing for nonprofits. They want to come back to nonprofits.
No, it's four this year.
I'm sorry?
Oh, so it's just four this year then? Okay.
Yeah, four this year. Okay. So you're by my calculation,
probably not, but maybe.
Got it.
We have another question. I got the answer from Greg that apparently you gave him today that flower baskets can no longer come out of LTAC. We used to do that.
Correct.
Now we cannot do that.
Right. I don't believe that they really qualify for LTAC funding.
Yeah, the auditor's actually told us a bit.
Yeah.
Tourism draw. That's
okay, I wanted to give you a 10-minute break, so on my calculation, am I right, we're at 38?
Well, let's just go over them quickly. Aerial photography, 4. UGA, 3. Flower baskets, 3. That looks like a 10 to me total.
One of those.
The computer is off on the general fund. You've deferred that decision, and you deferred the nonprofit decision. 4, 3, and 3 is 10, so we're down to 40. On the general fund.
Okay, so 40?
Yeah.
Are we doing the rest of the decisions tonight, though, the nonprofits? Well, because they're here.
Computer's not out of general.
It's a different fund.
So we got just 10 minutes. I want to give you a 10-minute break. We can go a little bit farther.
I just wanted to ask, Mark, are we going to get any more revenue information in the next 2 weeks before next council that would change any forecast? Or is this pretty much it?
Is it?
I don't think we're going to have any union settled by then.
No.
I don't predict that.
I don't think so.
Okay, so 9-minute break.
So can we say the other nonprofits tell us they should just go home if they're not interested because we're not going to discuss them anymore tonight, correct?
Pretty. I'll call the meeting to order. All please rise. Your city administrator will lead us in the pledge to our flag.
How
would be you?
Oh, I wasn't listening. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Sorry.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutzler?
I'm here.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here. Great. All present and accounted for. Okay. First on the agenda here is the public comment period. This is the period where anyone from a member of the public can come speak to the council of anything that's not on tonight's agenda, including the consent agenda. So anything that you'd like to speak to the council about. Anyone? Are you coming forward? Or you need a hand up. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm Lori Palavoy from the Ferndale Community Service Cooperative, and I just wanted to let you know that you're going to be hearing more as the days go on about the Holiday Giving Store. We're revved up for that. Their posters will be going out soon. Applications are going out to families this week in the school district whose kids qualify for the free and reduced meal program. Last year, the program served 703 children in the Ferndale School District and the local Head Start programs. The dates are Thursday, December 13th from noon to 7 p.m., Friday, December 14th from 11 to 5 p.m., and Saturday, December 15th from from 11 to 3 p.m. So just look for that, and we hope to have all your support. And there'll be boxes around town. Thank you. It's going to be at the Carnation Building again this year. There'll be collection boxes in some local retail outlets here in town, as well as for where donations can be dropped off. There'll be angel trees, and there'll be little collections for monetary donations. So. Thank you.
Will there be a box in City Hall, Mayor? Have you had a box in the past in City Hall for the Giving Store? Okay, I thought you did.
We'll be sure to get one again this year.
Okay, any questions or comments? No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else for the public comment period? Okay, seeing none, I will go to the next item. I'm going to close the regular council meeting at 6:02:44, and we'll go into the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting.
Just some introductory comments, Board. You're the Board. Since the TBD is a separate legal entity, we just need to pass these resolutions. They're both budget resolutions for the TBD. One's a 2012, this year resolution, and then the other ones in 2013, basically recognizes the sales tax we're getting, about $300,000 a year, or actually a little more in the last 2 months. And it does show the expenses going out with keeping a modest balance there. So staff recommends approval.
And TBD board, our clerk has informed us that you could approve those as one motion, so both budgets as one motion. Councilperson Mutchler?
I so move the adoption of Agenda Bill TBD 12-11-001. Is there 002? Is that what you're saying? Or to get both, excuse me?
Just one.
Okay.
Agenda Bill 1.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Councilperson Zimmerman?
Does this incorporate the hooking up with Bellingham for filling all the cracks? Is that?
No.
You brought that forward? No, it doesn't?
Okay. Yeah, that, so the Transportation Benefit District, you have a list of projects that you decided to go on, and we're collecting money as we speak. And you've spoken earlier, that fund is
what,
it now?
$3,000.
For TBD?
Yeah, for TBD, we're taking in about $25,000 a month. It's been a little bit higher than that the last 2 months. Annual, about $300,000 a year. Money, it's just kind of an in-and-out thing. Money comes in. We'll get it directly from the Department of Revenue at the end of this month into our new checking account, TBD checking account. And then the money basically gets passed to the city, and it goes from our city TBD fund to the projects as needed.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, so at 6:05:08, we'll close the TBD board, and we'll go back into regular session for the council. So we'll reconvene on a regular council meeting. Next up, item B of the regular agenda, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move the adoption of the consent agenda.
What's that?
I move the adoption of the consent.
No, you already got my answer. So.
Okay, so I have a motion, and second was?
I'll second.
Okay, Councilperson Watson. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is our capital projects update.
Good evening, Council. So I've got a couple of updates. We'll start with Main Street because work is ongoing. And we reached the time of year where weather permitting is very, it's an important issue. So the work that's going on this week is we hope to have decent enough weather. It looks like the later part of the week will be favorable where we can get the next lift, the second lift of asphalt down. At Mountain View Meadows to Church Road, and then we hope to follow up with a final lift of asphalt potentially next week. If you've driven through, you've seen that the contractor has been working to pour sidewalks and driveways and that sort of thing, so that work is ongoing. Part of the remainder of the work to be done includes permanent signage, some stormwater things to do, and landscaping. So I don't know if you have any questions about what's ongoing now.
Councilperson Ingram?
Katie, it's really looking good out there. I can visualize you out there with your yellow raincoat on and your big 20-foot bull whip just kicking. We get a second lift complete, will that pretty much weatherproof it if everything really turns bad and we don't get back to do the final lift until spring?
I believe so, yes. The three lifts of asphalt, you've heard me talk about this before, is that the first lift is a 4-inch thick lift of 1-inch, 1-inch sized aggregate. So the rock is quite big. And if you get out there and you actually look at the pavement, there's gaps in between the rock because it is of a larger size. So it would be best to cap that off with a 1/2-inch lift, which means the aggregate is 1/2-inch or smaller on top, kind of seal that all off and get it ready for the wintertime. So... we're still pushing for that final lift, but you know, we're kind of running out of the year. So
we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
Councilperson Watson,
do you know when the bus shelters are going to go up? Have they gone up? I didn't notice.
Bus shelters will not go up until the street project is completely finished and they're out of it. They're putting in the pads. We're not putting in bus shelters. But the WTA puts in the bus
shelters. I know, but I wasn't sure if they could do that. So they can't do it. If we have to wait till next spring, the shelters won't go up until next spring? Right. If we do the
we
final
work. We should have all the sidewalk down.
Okay.
So, you know, as long as there's not any sort of conflict between, like, say, paving activities or striping or that sort of thing, and WTA coming in, then...
Well, there could end up a potential... there could be a potential paving, not paving, but landscaping conflict with the pads. The last word I had from the WTA was, we'll consider doing the bus shelters when the project's finished. So
okay.
there was never any plan to put the bus shelters up prior to the project being finished.
I mean, but if we have to kind of mothball it for the winter and wait, are they not going to put shelters up until next June?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
My suspicion is no.
Oh.
Well, they've only made a
commitment
at this point to look at it. They've not even made a commitment
to put
shelters.
I misunderstood.
Umbrellas for everybody.
What's that?
Umbrellas for everybody.
Yeah.
We're used to rain. We just okay. Thank you, Katie. You're welcome. Yes.
Is all the retaining walls and fences and stuff, was there stuff we had to do for that for property owners on there, and will that be done?
There are two retaining walls on this project. One is at the Seventh-day Adventist Church sign, basically the location of their sign, and that's a church out there towards Church Road. Their sign was of a distance to the sidewalk that couldn't really cut a slope and pulled up the sign and that sort of thing. So that's in. I drove through and I wasn't really looking at that retaining wall. I think they have a cat block yet to put on. The other retaining wall is on the south side of the street towards Church Road, and that wall is in. I don't know if they have the cat block on that, but that will actually be, it will have a thickened edge sidewalk so that they can install pedestrian rail over the top of that. So, you know, I need to actually check on the manufacturer. I think the last time we asked about that, I think the railings were being fabricated. So I don't see any reason why if they don't get the, if they get the sidewalk in, that they can't place railing, because they'll come in sections, they just bolt it down.
I'm pretty sure that one on the south side, Katie's got the cap on it.
It has the cap and finished the sidewalk today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I drove through there later than I did.
Councilperson Mutchler had a question.
Yeah, the property owner across the street from the Seventh-day Adventist Church with the very long involved fence, and I just kind of noticed today that he's kind of, there's not much privacy when we're above his fence with our vehicles. Is that all okay, worked out? Is that the final what it's going to be, pretty much?
Right, yes, it is. We spoke with him early on. Originally, it was the city's intention to obtain right-of-way from him in order to create a fill slope.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular property owner has spent a copious amount of time and effort and funds on that fence. And so he was very interested in figuring out how he could keep his fence. And so it actually worked out financially pretty much a wash for the city to install a wall, allow him to keep his fence, and he seemed pretty pleased with that. So.
And he has access to maintain it between our elevated sidewalk and his fence, I imagine.
We talked to him about the distance of the retaining wall to the fence, and he was fine with it at the time.
Great,
we talked
yeah.
To him.
Just yeah. Looks a little different. Thanks.
Okay, we're done with the Main Street then. Next.
Well, I do want to talk about LED lights. Mm-hmm. I know the shiny object over here. Anyway,
don't let him touch it.
Yeah. Keep bringing it.
Get the lights.
He's staring at it pretty hard. Anyway, as far as lighting goes, the city works with Into Light to do our lighting, and they do the design free of charge to the city, and they're starting now, because the technology and the cost effectiveness is there, to start talking to municipalities about LED lighting. And so we have it within budget, and what we're going to do is we're going to install LED lights on the next phase, you know, this phase of Main Street that's under construction right now, so from Douglas to Church Road. And so, you know, we're waiting for road construction to be done, again, just so there's no conflict between the various types of work. But I don't know if everybody got a chance to look at the LED lights. The major difference with the LED lights is it's going to be noticeably different. The light is white and bright. It is more upfront cost to install, but then the city will be able to make that money back in 10 years. There's a 10-year payback period where we save on the cost of maintenance and electricity because the LED lights last so much longer and they burn a lot less electricity.
If you want to turn it on, you could.
You're dying.
I packed it all the way over here, but you know, it's, we don't have to.
Let Greg do it. He really likes it.
I would like to let Greg touch it. Okay, everybody in the audience, be aware that this is, you know, this is a street light.
Oh, don't look right in.
Way up in here.
Kids, when you go to prison.
I'm going to point it at Greg.
And don't look directly into it.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Watch your life.
Green professional. I know the
eclipse.
Oops, he just blew the fuse. You're not going to see it.
Let's
do
the mayor.
It's going to blow.
No, let's not do that. Okay, let's go like that.
Yeah. Just go directly into the...
Okay, for the minutes...
It's not going to work at City Hall, but I
can... You pop it right in here.
Exactly the same. That's what they do.
I
went to the whole city of the bar.
No, we plugged in at City Hall.
That's how you stay.
There's a difference in old circuits and newer circuits.
Do we want lights for the rest of the media?
Right.
Computer won't work.
What do you do? Fry at the end of it?
We've had one council meeting with no lights before.
Yeah. It sparked and it arced.
It arced and sparked.
Hey, this is an airport.
Now we plug it. If we break it, we buy it.
So who's the mayor pro tem when he electrocutes
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you lick it first.
Don't plug it into that outlet. That's obviously reverse polarity.
Now, be aware, this is really rather bright.
All right, unplug your computers before we, you know, anyone plugged in.
Really?
No.
Lick your computers.
Like,
this is kind of funny, Billy, on City Council.
No, you don't. Oh! Look at that.
So if you notice, the LED lights, they're a white light as opposed to like the high-pressure sodium, mercury vapor. The technology of the LEDs also allows it to be directed right onto the street, the sidewalk. There's a lot less over-lighting of areas that you're not trying to light with the issues with light pollution and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Equivalent to how many watts?
That's a 54 watt. It burns 54 watts, but it's the equivalent of a 100 watt street light. So just over half.
It's brighter than 100 watts. So it's brighter than 100 watts with the reflection, it seems like.
It's the mirror the mirror's kind of focused.
More dissipation.
Katie has some good photos on a PowerPoint, though, if you want to see.
I didn't. She's got now I can't see one. Either. But.
Yeah. Okay, so examples of Councilperson Hansen is first.
Well, we asked the question at the Utilities Committee meeting regarding the over lights that are between where these are going to be installed and back to Correll Park, which is where the decorative lighting starts. It appears to me, I went out and counted them, there are 8 Cobra heads. And if you include the ones that are just around the corner at Correll Park, that would be 9. So what you're going to get is you're going to come down Churchville, you're going to have all this white light, then you're going to go to a yellow Cobra head, and then you go to the decorative light. So you have essentially 3 types of lights. I'd like us to seriously consider changing out those 9 Cobra heads, if you would, to the LED lights.
And since committee, we have asked IntuLight to come up with a cost estimate proposal for, you know, on a per Cobra head each, with a cost to switch those out. And they have not gotten that back to us yet. Good. And I forgot to ask, so okay. I apologize. Good idea.
Any more questions on that?
Any other project updates?
Yeah, two more. So the next one, briefly, is Church Road. The last time I was here, I think we said that we anticipated getting the final possession and use agreements for the outstanding properties on Church Road. Those have been obtained. Yay. So the city is actually, we're going to be scheduling with WashDOT to get our right-of-way certification, which means once that's ready, all we need is some additional funds and we can go to construction. So got that done by the end of the year.
Very good. In committee, we were looking at doing it in two phases. Is there any more thoughts been looked at or anything like that for Church, or is that down the road thinking?
We haven't. We've had pretty minor discussions since committee, so no, we haven't had any in-depth discussion. And I think, you know, it's a good point. And I think that sort of thing we're going to look at more specifically. You know, we're still working on some of the design and that sort of thing. Look at that a little bit more specifically once we get a little further down the road.
Okay.
Okay, finally, Aerial Court. So Aerial Court, we had a sewer pump station there. It's been there since 2005, 7. Anyway, so the pump station was kind of undersized. It was always an issue as far as maintenance goes. So we did this, this small contract to remove the pump station, install several hundred feet of sewer line, and connect into the interceptor line running down Imhoff. So that work is completely done. We're working to settle the contract with the contractor. Janice had Art Longstreth do the inspection on that, and he saved the city a lot of money. So great job to Art. What he did is he suggested relocating the sewer manhole away from a fence line, so it saved us, contract's not in yet, but it probably saved us like $20,000 on an $80,000 contract. So he did a really, really good job, and you guys should know that. So.
Didn't at one point you get down in the hole and start helping
Dave? Art is the dirtiest inspector I've ever met. He
stands on.
He likes to demonstrate by example, I guess. So anyway.
Give it a shot.
Are we done with the police station? Everything's done, right? There's no punch list left?
No, there still is a punch list.
Oh, yeah. That was too much to hope for.
Ongoing.
It's getting smaller.
It's not one of mine.
Neither is mine.
Anything else?
Okay, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay, next up is a public hearing, and the public hearing is on our property tax, so I'll turn to our finance director first.
Alrighty. Requirement each year is to get the county assessor whether we want to raise property taxes or not, and by how much if we are going to raise them. We need to pass an ordinance by the end of November to do that. Just for history, we went with a 0% increase for 2010, 11, and 12, and prior to that was 3%. As you may recall also, there's a 1% cap on property tax increases, with the exception that if you took less than that in the past, you're able to bank that unused, untaken property tax. At this point, the city, for next year, for 2013 taxes, we have about 6% of this year's tax in the 1% allowed plus 5% bank. Total, $130,000 of bank and allowed property tax. You've seen this long sheet, I believe. I brought a few extras with me. If the council was to consider, and by the way, the preliminary budget has 0% increase in for property tax revenue for 2013. You know, we will get some new properties. We don't have any annexations, but we'll get some new construction. I put in $20,000 for 2013. That probably is a low number, since the year before was $78,000. But in any case, we did some budget discussions at the workshop.
Could you repeat? So you estimated maybe conservatively 20 would come in last year, and an additional 78 came in from new construction.
Yeah, for 2012, new construction came in
And we don't learn those numbers till after the first year, typically. Yeah.
I believe we get those numbers late December.
And we sort of have an idea of our new construction going on, but you tend to be conservative, and I appreciate that. But it's probably going to go maybe a little north of 20,000.
I don't know how much new construction is going on. What is your source?
Also,
you said so you sort of know. Do you know?
2013 revenue won't count 2012 construction.
Microphone.
So the 2013 revenue does not count 2012 construction. You have to wait a year. Is that how that works?
Yeah, the new construction is determined for, I think it's June to June.
Right.
So for 2013, we'll get the new construction through June of 2012 from June of the prior year. And it's one thing to know that we've done a lot of activity, but you'd have to estimate what the valuation of that is. And the way it works is that you get the new construction June to June, but the rate is your prior year's levy rate. So if we levied $1.98 in 2012 or whatever it is, that's the rate that will be applied to the 2013 new construction until 2014, and then all that new construction rolls over into the regular assessment and gets assessed at whatever rate you all feel is appropriate.
So a simple person like me, we've been boasting a bit of the new construction in Ferndale. Our numbers are up. We've already factored that in, or is that we don't really quite know what that's going to do for us?
Yeah, I think we
put in 25 grand.
Put in 25, and that's, I think, pretty much perennially, that's what you do most years.
Well, this year we got 86,000.
Yeah.
That's with annexations.
Okay, and we didn't have any annexations.
Yeah.
But so if you haven't got it by now, I tend to be conservative on the revenue, meaning low, and conservative on the cost, meaning a little higher. So that combination should get you a good conservative number. So we'll probably do better than 25,000 for 2013. But, you know, the council has been discussing, in fact, at their January offsite retreat, we talked about if we had some extra funds to add staff, and the first staff I believe you wanted to add was a police officer. So this long sheet here talks about if the council was to increase property tax by 1%, that would bring in approximately $21,645. What does that mean for a typical house, a typical homeowner? Well, a median average assessed value home of $250,000, that would mean an additional $4.97 a real estate tax for the whole year for 2013. And if you did a 2% increase, it would bring in $43,000. Again, it would be $9.93. You know, it's about $5 for every 1%. 3% increase, $15, and 4% increase would bring in $86,000. Bring in a cost almost a little under $20 for a $250,000 home. So, you know, tonight we're talking revenues. We're in preparation. It's a public meeting. You've gone 3 years with 0% property tax increases. And, you know, we've experienced just the medical insurance premium increases of 16%, 13%, 10%, and next year 6% for regions. Pretty tough to absorb that. That equates to $40,000 just in the general fund for next year. $40,000 because of the increased medical insurance. So, kind of there you have it. Those are the numbers. You could go up to 6%, $130,000, year after year after year, or zero. And some of the communities, surrounding communities, we've got a little handout. City clerk put this together. Bellingham has had increases in 2010, 11, and 12. Linden has had increases in 2009, 10, and 11. Of course, Ferndale, 2009 was our last increase, 3%. Blaine has had an increase in 2012. And Sumas has an asterisk. They've reached their levy lid limit. $3.60 per $1,000 of assessed value. You cannot go higher. At least there's some safeguards there. So, I guess, questions from council at this point?
Public hearing, I have Councilperson Olson, Goodrich, and then Hansen.
Just questions for staff at this point?
Questions for staff, and then we will open up for a public hearing for the public to comment.
So, Mark, if we did the 3%, would that give us enough? Excuse me. Would that give us enough to replace one of the two police officers that were down?
If we hire a newbie police officer with a spouse and two kids, it's right around $100,000. But certainly $65,000 would go a long way toward the $100,000. You know, we discussed earlier we were at $50,000 to the good in general fund. Council made some decisions and we're down to $40,000 to the good. We still have two more general fund decision cards to discuss, but we're at 40 to the good right now. But 3% would go a long way toward paying for that new police officer. Now, we have to consider the autos, but they've got two, I believe, in reserve, the ones that are not the black and whites. They're the older ones with the kind of the white or the beige paint scheme.
Okay, thank you.
Councilperson Goodrich?
If we were to do this, two things. One, I think we need to make sure we decide where that money is going. And two, can we set up a thing saying, like we do with TBD, this money goes to a police officer? Certainly. Whatever increase we do definitely goes there and doesn't get sidetracked into some other...
Yeah. Well, certainly it would be recorded in your minutes. Property tax comes into the general fund in one line item. And it stays in the general fund on the revenue report. The expenditure report has police, fire, city hall staff, insurance, all these other expenses. But certainly through our recorded minutes, if the intent is that the property tax thing goes toward a new officer, well, then city administrator would authorize a new police officer. They get going on hiring.
Well, I'm just concerned that we go out and we sell this or whatever to the people. We're going to get another. We're going to replace one of our vacant police officer positions, and then a couple months later we hear about the mayor gets a 10% raise. And people are saying, well, gee, you told us we were going to get money for a police officer, but yet the mayor got a raise instead.
You approved the raise, though.
Only
if I'm like saying, that's the way the public sometimes perceives.
Sure,
things.
Certainly yeah. Not like a voted tax. This is Councilman Nick.
If you were to go this route and want to, for all the good reasons, to tie it to bringing the force back up to 18 from 17 now. Not only would we go ahead and add that extra revenue in, we would add the expenditure into the budget for the 18th police officer. So by you approving the budget, you have then authorized that expenditure. Right. And I know our police force well enough that they don't have to be told twice if they can bring the force back up to 18. So if you so authorized it, they will hire and we will spend the money. One thing that this is not so much maybe for all of you, but for the audience, it's interesting on the property tax. I'll use the example of just 1% for, let's say, $20,000. We've not taken property tax increase in 3 years. Well, it's one of those gifts that keeps giving from the standpoint that it's $21,000 every year. So 3 years ago, when you decided not to take 1% for that $20,000. That's $60,000 that we've now not collected. And then 2 years ago when you decided not to take it, that's $40,000 that we've not collected. Because, again, you get it every year. I think the reasons why we did not increase property taxes in the last few years was absolutely the right-on thing to do. There's no doubt about that. But I guess I wanted to remind you and perhaps educate the public that the property tax seems like a small amount. I mean, relatively speaking, when we have a $1 million budget. But it does roll over from year to year, and it does accumulate from year to year. So this decision has the advantage, if you were to go in an amount sufficient, perhaps with some other monies, to hire a police officer, that money rolls in every year
for that police officer. So it's, you're not just having a one-time revenue with a one-time expenditure. You're matching an enduring revenue with an enduring expenditure, if that's the direction you so wish.
Councilperson Hansen?
One of the things I want to point out, because we keep throwing percentages around as a 1% property tax increase, a 2% property. It is not a 1% property tax increase that we're considering. What we're considering is raising the amount the city raises through property tax by 1%. I just did a real rough calculation, and it's about, it used to be about a tenth of a percent. It is currently based on the figures that are on this sheet, and I don't know the accuracy of these. If 497 is what's raised on a $250,000 home, it's actually a 1.8% or 18/100ths of a percent increase in the property tax. I do that especially for you guys in the press, because what tends to happen is that a municipality raises their property tax by 1%, and what comes out in the press is property taxes were just increased by 1% by the city of Ferndale. Well, that's not true. Property taxes were increased by, in this case, 0.18%. It allows the budget to be increased, the revenue side of the budget to be increased by 1%. That's, I hope I'm making sense.
Only Ferndale's portion would go up.
If every taxing district, including the school district, got a 1% increase, then the property tax would go up by 1%. But our budget doesn't cause a 1% increase in the property tax. It costs a 0.18% per 1% of increase in our budget.
Councilperson Watson?
Is any of this bank capacity use or lose?
No. Not so just keep currently, not with current laws.
Okay, further questions of staff from council? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to open up the public hearing at 6:35:28. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. If you intend to speak, it's necessary that you sign up the sheet that's located on the credenza. If you're not signed up and you raise your hand later, we'll still bring you up to the podium. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Proceed to the speaker's rostrum of the microphone. Clearly state your name and address, and if you're speaking as a representative for another person or organization, so state. State whether you're a proponent or an opponent or neither. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. After all comments are heard, if you have something to add that has not already been stated at the discretion of the mayor, you may be given an additional 2 minutes, only after one member has spoken. There will be no demonstration during or at the conclusion of anyone's presentation. During the public testimony period of the public hearing, the council staff and audience will remain silent. After your presentation, council members may wish to ask you questions. After the last person has spoken, the hearing will be closed, and the council entered a regular session. The subject of the hearing will usually appear as an agenda item for council discussion, decision, or referral. The audience may not comment during council's deliberations unless questioned by the council for clarification. These rules are intended to promote an orderly system of holding a public hearing to give every person an opportunity to be heard and ensure that no individuals are embarrassed by exercising their right to free speech. In the chance to save some time, that same speech will be sufficient for the next two public hearings. So we'll save some time there. I am allowed to do that, even though I have to read this every time. So do we have anyone signed up?
No.
Okay, none for the public, but now that you've had a time to hear all this, someone may want to come forward. Anyone from the audience would like to come forward? There's a hand up. Great. We have a public hearing because we want to hear from the public, and so you're the representative of the public right now. Welcome, sir.
Awesome, and I didn't even have to run an election. Who do you want me to run against, Sam? For the record, my name is Perry Eskridge out of the 6082 Church Road up there on right across from the fire station. I was talking to a council member earlier today, and I asked him if he'd ever heard of being pecked to death by a duck. The result is the same, death. It's just it takes a lot longer to get there. Now, a lot of you know that I'm an attorney here in town, and I represent a lot of homeowners. And recently, in the last couple of years, a lot of that has turned to people that are facing foreclosure through, you know, various issues, what have you. I wanted to point out, I'm sort of torn on this because I think I still serve on your public service mission, and as a result, you know, I keep up with what's going on with the police department, and I love the idea of hiring a police officer. On the flip side, though, I'm looking at $5 a year. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot of money. It doesn't seem like a lot of money to anybody. But I can tell you that in my professional experience right now, dealing with homeowners, just today, 3 phone calls from people, and literally, when we're talking to banks about keeping people in their homes, it comes down to a matter of dollars. I mean, literally dollars. And there was a case that went away last week for me, or not last week, last month for me. It was, they were $100 apart per month for this homeowner. That doesn't seem like a lot of money, does it, to keep somebody in their house? But the answer was no. So it doesn't seem like, you know, $5 a year, that's not a lot. It is a lot to a lot of people out there. Okay, and I'm telling you, even now, you know, when we're still talking about, have we reached the recovery? Are we going through the recovery? For a lot of families around here, the recovery has not happened yet. We're hoping it will, but I think this is still a time to maintain some austerity. I'll give you an example that's personal to me. My wife, some of you may know, has a lot of medical expenses. And when I'm looking at $5 a year, I just got the report from Group Health what my new health insurance premiums are under the Obamacare provision. And then we're looking at an increase of almost $500 a month for the two of us, which is another $1,000 a month. Okay, that's just my health insurance. Plus, my ability to deduct health costs is going from the 7% of my income up to 10% of my income. So that's a 3% of my income that I no longer get to deduct from my taxes. I have to absorb that cost. There was another lovely provision in there. Oh, yeah, our ability to use health savings accounts to meet our premiums is being slashed. Overall, my wife and I are looking at probably another $1,000 a month at least. Is that my time? Great. In increased costs, and that's just with our health insurance. Then you tell me, no, we need another $5 a year. Well, you know, I'm lucky I can afford the $5 a year. There's a lot of people out there that cannot. So I just ask you to keep on with the austerity measures for a while until everybody is able to participate in the recovery and we can move forward.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Our health insurance rates have gone up, too, by 45%. And so if we don't get more money, how do you suggest we pay for our health insurance for our employees?
Well,
we've laid off 10 people in the last 4 years.
I know you also have a lot of charities that you're looking at giving money to this year.
Charities that help poor people?
Yeah. And I hate to say that, but it's a distinction between what we need and what we want. I need health insurance. I don't have that luxury. And so we will be cutting other areas that I don't necessarily want to cut. Our charitable giving is going to go away. I can tell you that right now. I don't want to not help my neighbors.
And even if we funded all of them, it's only $13,000 for the nonprofits this year.
Right. That's a really good start to covering your increased health insurance costs. You need the health insurance for your employees. The charities have the opportunity to go out to a lot bigger pot and get the money that they need to. That is an unpopular answer, and it is not very palatable to a lot of people. But unfortunately, when you're being asked to make tough decisions, sometimes you have to do it. And I hate to say that, but that's what's going on in our household. Mm-hmm. I expect my government to be doing the same thing.
Councilperson Olson? Perry, I appreciate you coming up
sure. And
talking. A lot of what we look at, though, is we, in this school, in this area, the school district bonds never fail. So if the people are that far into supporting their teachers in schools, we tend to think that they'll do the same for police protection, which is probably more important than schools in the long run. Because if you don't have law and justice, we're not going to have a decent... Actually, we have police officers at the school. So that's kind of where we're thinking. If they support, they can support a much higher figure to give to the schools. Certainly, they can. They're not going to be opposed to spending a smaller amount to help restore one police officer of the two lost. And that's kind of what we're looking at here.
Well, and by way of response, I'd actually point out, if you remember back just a few years ago, because I was really involved with this, the last two bond levies for or bond initiatives for the schools both failed. The levies have passed.
I might be using the wrong terms, but...
And I think a lot of that comes down to the sense that, you know, people remember bonds are for building, levies are for learning. And when you're talking about an investment in the direct education, the infrastructure, and, you know, paying teachers and making sure that students have resources, yes, they were willing to pass those. But when you're talking about building more schools, especially when we're talking about closing down two of them, that's when the community gets a little hot. And if you attend those school board meetings like I did for a couple of years during that period of time, the will of the school district to invest more money in buildings just was not there. Now, that does not necessarily concern teachers or buying textbooks or something like that. Now, there the will is okay, but to actually build more buildings, I don't think that statement quite stands up.
Investing in teachers, they're okay with that. We think they'd be okay with investing in police officers. That was my
and that's what my point is you know, if you want my opinion, yes, you know, I'm torn on that. I look at the money, $5 a year. Mm-hmm. I look at having another police officer. I love our police force. You know, we've got, I think, the best police force in Whatcom County, if not Western Washington. Chief Knapp is an asset. He's a treasure. I really would hate to tell him no. But I'm telling you, personally, we're rapidly coming to that point where we may not have the choice.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Any other questions?
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience wish to come forward and talk on this issue? Any takers? No?
Okay, so then I'll close the public hearing portion at 6:45:22. And open up for council discussion on the issue. And first hand up is Councilperson Ingram.
thank you. Could we hear from the chief?
We could. Okay. Would you like to bring him forward?
I would love to.
Okay. Chief Knapp, you're requested at the podium for questioning from the council.
You're interrogating? You're going to interrogate the chief?
I don't think so. No, I would never interrogate the chief. Jeez, I'm a niece.
No, we said you could ask questions.
The only question I would have is chief is replacing that 18th officer in this budget cycle absolutely necessary, or could we possibly defer another year?
That's a tough question to ask of any department head. I'm going to help him out there, because if you asked Public Works on a sewer plant operator, they'd say yes. I mean, I guess you can answer that.
Yeah, it's not tough to answer the question, but I think it's a question that the council needs to ask themselves. Once you understand what the challenges are that the police department faces, I have my view. We can do with less, and we're obliged, and I'm grateful to Mr. Etheridge for his service and his advice and counsel to the police department and support. We can do with less, and we have for a couple of years. Four less than we had just 4 years ago. It comes at a calculated risk. On the patrol side, it involves exposing officers for a number of hours each week to sole patrol, and we've found increasingly that officers are facing situations that require them to ask for assistance, and it's not available. too, and it's one thing I do want to share with you, but I want to share it with you in a sensitive way. Beyond patrol, the police department is obliged to conduct investigations in order to bring those responsible for acts that the community would find abhorrent to the bar of justice. And we can't do that with the resources we have right now. We can do a certain amount of it. And I want to give you an ugly statistic, and hopefully at committee have you listen to the detective personally so that you can talk with her. We average in this city one child molestation, one child rape, one child pornography case a day. Just in the last couple of weeks, we had three new cases given the department by DSHS that involved potentially 31 victims. There's simply no way now for us to do it anymore, and we've asked for mutual aid and brought investigators in from the sheriff's office. But during that time, other cases involving property crimes simply cannot be investigated. Beyond doing criminal investigations, every time we replace an officer, we have to conduct an investigation. That takes time away as well. So to answer your question, yeah, we can get by with less, but it's at a calculated
risk.
Yeah,
but not easily and not in the best interest of the police.
And you'll have to determine as a community if those risks are ones that you wish to take.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen is next.
This is not a question for the chief. If others have questions for the chief, let them go.
Okay, chief, does anyone have direct questions for the chief? Okay, Councilperson Goodrich and Watson. Mm-hmm. Okay, chief, you want to come back up? Direct questions from council?
Sorry, chief.
Okay, so Councilperson Goodrich first, then Councilperson Watson.
My question goes to the other costs associated besides just the salary and the medical and things, such as vehicle and stuff like that. Do we have, I know it's been stated earlier that we have some spare vehicles, but do we really have a vehicle that's fit for an officer to use on a daily basis? And are there any other equipment costs or things that we would have to purchase or get to make sure that officer was, like computers or whatever, so that they're equipped to do their job?
Excellent question. We do have a reserve fleet, and it is in reserve because it cannot be a primary response fleet because of age, but it can be used in the short term. So to answer your question, as far as fleet, we probably could equip in the short term an officer with a vehicle. We have gotten all our vehicles in the last 3 or 4 years through Stone Garden without any cost to the city. As far as the uniforms and all, no, we have to outfit the officer with that, and that cost is fairly substantial, so that by the time we outfit him, we're probably talking another $20,000 to make sure he has the weaponry, the computer, which we do not have an extra that is required. We are fortunate now in that we have become a very attractive employer because of council's wisdom in the compensation that we offer our officers, so that we have gotten a lot of officers now are already trained, and so we save somewhere in the area of $80,000. We're not sending them away for 18 weeks at the academy, not providing their salaries during that period of time, not providing with the academy uniforms, not providing them with a car to commute back and forth to the academy. So we're saving substantial amounts of money. But even then, as you point out, we do have some costs beyond salary.
Councilperson Watson?
Chief, are you using overtime now for shifts?
Yes, we are, and thank you. Mark Peterson will know precisely, but it's over $100,000, isn't it, Mark, now so far this year?
Our last hire annualized. Question was how much does one officer cost? Yeah, fully
no,
managed.
Actually, it was how much overtime?
The overtime
are we
so far.
Right now.
Sorry. No, we're substantial overtime. Over $100,000 for the police overtime.
Right.
It's probably going to come at 125 by the year end.
How many hours per week are your officers
doing? And to answer to your specific question, we calculate on a monthly basis what that overtime is, how it's distributed. 65% of the 100,000, 65,000 roughly, is now to cover just the shifts.
Okay.
And the rest are those to bring them back to conduct investigations or to do such other things, such as special events or whatever. But we know a base 65,000 just to cover the shift.
Okay.
Okay. Any more questions of Chief Knapp while he's up here or general questions? Okay, so I'll go back to my list. I believe I had Councilperson Hansen and then Councilperson Mutchler.
In regards to the property tax, the 1% limit, I'm going to take you back because I'm the guy that's as old as anyone in the room, I guess. Well, except for Ingram, but he came here from California, so he doesn't remember this stuff. This was an Iman initiative that set a 1% limit on property tax. 12 years ago, it used to be 6% per year that cities and counties and cemetery districts and so forth were able to take in terms of their increased property tax. And most jurisdictions took 6%. Or in some cases they took 5% and they would be able to bank capacity. As you can see, Springdale used to take a 6% increase because we only have left a 5% banked capacity. And the 6% went on for years. When Mr. Iman, who I think everyone in the room would agree is as conservative as any individual in this state would be, when he set the initiative, he recognized that jurisdictions such as cities and counties were not going to be able to live on absolutely zero increase year after year after year, that other costs were going to end up going up. So he set the limit at 1% in the initiative that he drafted. And, of course, as we all know, that initiative passed. So even Tim Iman, the most conservative of all the conservatives, has recognized a need for cities and counties to have access to increased revenue. In our case, you know, you mentioned health insurance. No one mentioned the fire district contract. The fire district contract is going up by more than we can possibly raise with the 1% that it does every year. And I would speak to the people that are struggling with their property taxes and homes. We provide fire protection and police protection. If those things were substantially taken away, it wouldn't do you any good to have that home if the home burned down as a result of not having the property fire protection. And those are the kinds of things that we pick up with that additional tax increase. We're absorbing the fire district contract. We're absorbing the health insurance increase. And we have for the last 4 years. Asking now to go a 1, 2, or 3 percent increase in the budget. I bring that up again. It's a budget increase. It is not a property tax increase of 1%. And I think is extremely reasonable. It actually is of more benefit to folks than it is a cost.
Customers in Mutchler, Olson, and then back to Goodrich.
Yeah, thank you. I struggle with this. I think you're not surprised by that. I don't want this budget season to end with us not funding that police officer. And I'd like to make a suggestion about that. I talked to the chief earlier, and it's I walked through downtown Ferndale. I don't feel unsafe at all. I have never had a break-in, but it's our children that are being violated and exploited, and they can't speak up, and we need the officer for things like that. Three of my kids are under teenage years, so we need to do that. Mr. Young, mentioned the reasons that we didn't raise the property taxes. I think he said for all the right reasons. And I sort of tend to think those right reasons still exist today with the economy, which is still struggling. We saw unemployment numbers go up a little bit, and we know how that is. I've also noted that this plays a very small factor in my thinking. I don't want the effort that I put into this to magnify how much importance I put into that, but that I tend to think that Ferndale is on the high end of Whatcom County cities in terms of property taxes, and at least from the perspective of the property tax payer. So I'd also like to see us wait to the next meeting. We do have an election tomorrow, and maybe that doesn't matter to people, but I think it wouldn't hurt us just to give some time to think about it. We have the issue of the Bush tax cuts ending at the first of the year, which means all of our taxes are going up, and I think we all look with disdain, whether we are blue people or red people, on what's going on in Washington, D.C. I also don't know the amount, 1, 2, 3, 4% on something like that. And then finally, I'd just like to say I like to see that police officer. I'm fully prepared to support a 1% raise of the solid waste tax. That would completely fund the police officer. And it gets spread out through the whole county. We've complained here about the fact that we lose so much of our retail money, it goes out elsewhere, and hopefully that will change. But the solid waste tax would not impact our citizens. It would minimally impact the rest of the county. It would get passed on, and it would pay for the police officer easily. Because I think, Mark, I think you can confirm it's a little more than $100,000 a year. So at least I don't want to stop discussion. We've got plenty of time tonight. I hope we would hang tight at least for a vote until the next meeting. We can do that because whether I support it or not, I'm not sure we're at a place quite yet to know what that would be, whether it's 0, 1, 2, 3, or 5%. So those are my thoughts on that. Thank you, Council.
Okay, Councilperson Olson, Goodrich, and then back to Ingram. So, Councilperson Olson.
Teach you to retire.
I know. It happens frequently now.
Every day is Saturday.
Yeah, we could move on and come back to you.
Give me a moment.
Okay, Councilperson Goodrich.
My question is for Mark. Do we have the money in the budget to outfit another officer? If we vote to increase property taxes to where we fund him, his salary, do we have the $20,000 or whatever to get them the computer, the uniform, and all that stuff?
No. The 18th officer is not in this budget. Not salary, not benefits, not payroll taxes, not uniforms, not weapons. We're more like 120 the first year and 100 grand after that. Like the chief said, up to 20 grand to outfit. So no, we're at 40 grand to the good right now on general fund. Two more decision cards to consider, and the police officer to consider.
Councilperson Olson, I'll allow you to bump ahead of Councilperson Ingram because you got passed.
It came back to me.
He has a short memory.
Yeah. Luckily, I have fast recall. On the property taxes, aren't there provisions, really, like what Perry was talking about, aren't there provisions for people who are past a certain age, at a certain income, get a reduced property tax?
Yes, as a senior discount.
Based
on
a welfare discount.
There's not a senior discount, but not a low income discount. There's no discount in property tax for increased medical expense.
Most of the low income probably don't own houses, though, so that's an issue.
Well, I don't know. It's part of the middle class has become lower income.
Senior low income.
Senior low income.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. We're...
Oh. I disagree with putting this off. I think we've had more than enough time to talk about it. It's just a hard decision that has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
As one who just had forced out the door and retired, mandatory retirement, my job, I've just cut my income down about 70% of what I was doing. but I still feel strongly enough about this, having been somebody who has to go and work out there by yourself in the middle of when you got multiple assailants and stuff. It's not a good place to be, and the world is getting to be a rougher place. So with that in mind, I would like to see a 3%, or however we want to word that, increase, and perhaps a I wouldn't want to use all the bank capacity. I'd like to have a bank, because we don't know what's going to happen after tomorrow, like John says. But I'd like to see some sort of increase in the solid waste for the other half, so that we could fund this position and get the chief some help with these crimes against children.
Are you making that in the form of a motion?
I am.
Oh,
in this.
So, yeah. Clean that up. Councilperson motion. Councilperson Olson has a motion for.
I just don't know how to put it in Sam's little block.
3%.
I think he wants to do what the administrator had, like take a 3% property tax increase as well as a 0.5% solid waste tax.
That's what I heard.
That would be we separate those, not put them in the same motion.
We can't do solid waste tonight. We don't have.
That's what I thought we couldn't do.
We have to have a hearing.
Take direction.
What you can do is if that's the consensus, we could then bring back that ordinance increasing the solid waste tax at the next meeting.
You could do property tax tonight, make a motion for 3%.
So and then
the motion is for a 3% increase in property tax, with the discussion of solid waste to come at a later time. So that is the motion. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second. So further discussion on that motion ends up, I would go with Council President Ingram, Goodrich, and Muchler.
Thank you, because I did want to get this out there. I mean, if we're looking at that increase, 3%, that on my home annually is going to mean a 0.4% increase in my property tax, 0.4%. So I cannot say with any kind of a clear conscience that I would turn that down to deny the chief and our department after we've already decided that they're probably one of the best departments in the world. So I would definitely say that it's worth it.
Okay, Councilperson Goodrich and then Muchler.
My concern is that we don't do a partial job here. By I would almost like to agree with Councilmember Muchler to postpone this until next week when we can look at both the solid waste and the things to make sure that what we do completely funds the officer, gets them the equipment and everything. I'd hate to do this tonight and then find out that there's something comes up and the solid waste tax, we can't get the rest of the money or whatever, and we end up being short the $120,000 or whatever it is that we really need to get this officer equipped to do his job. So
are you making that in the form of a motion to postpone?
Move to table.
What would it be
move to table to time certain.
Yeah. Okay, I would make a motion to table this until the next meeting, which would be whatever it is. I can't see the calendar.
2 weeks
from tonight, to where we can have the solid waste tax information in front of us at the same time.
I would second that.
Bear in mind that we're also going to have the gas tax one on that, so you're talking about three different ones.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Is that...
Any discussion on this motion?
Yeah, discussion just on this motion.
Just briefly, all the figures are in front of you. I can show you which page. We can figure out in solid waste how much a 0.5% increase would be.
Right.
It's all there in front of us.
Sure.
It's already here, so we can't vote on it this week.
Well, what,
we know what
the 0.5% solid waste tax plus the 3% property tax get us the money to fund an officer?
Yeah, roughly it brings in $114,000.
We still have a motion.
About $64,000, actually about $65,000, so
$115,000. Yeah, you have to. The discussion needs to be only on the motion, which is to table.
So we have to take a vote.
In fact, Sam, the motion to table doesn't have discussion. But to a time certain, does it? I'm not sure.
I believe there can be discussion.
Yeah. But motion, the pure motion to table. There's no discussion.
I didn't this is a public question.
No. I understand the difference.
I believe discussion can occur.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So discussion just on the motion.
My discussion is on the motion and a comment that Councilmember also made about the gas tax ordinance coming up at the same time. I think that's a good point. I if this were to be moved to the next meeting, as Councilmember Goodrich suggested, I think we should push the gas tax at a later time, which we're not up against a deadline on that. I want to have that discussion, but I agree with Councilmember Olson they should be at the same time. And they don't need to be.
That would be a discussion on that later. Okay, discussion on the motion to postpone. Councilperson Olson?
I thought we had to have the gas tax talked by next meeting or we're not going to make the ballot.
December 28th is our deadline.
Okay.
So we could have both meetings in December. Would be okay.
Okay, discussion on the motion that's on the floor. Okay, the motion on the floor is to table this issue to the very next council meeting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Aye.
Failed.
It failed.
4-3.
So we're back to the original motion. Councilperson Mutcher.
Yeah, I sense it's going to pass, and that's fine. I respect my colleagues because they're doing it for all the right reasons. However, I'd like to make the case for voting no on this motion. And if it does, I'm going to vote no on it on the property tax, but if it does go down, I would immediately want to see us come back and enact a 1% increase in the solid waste tax for that police officer. Again, I'm saying this: if this does fail, I'm prepared to make that motion that we work towards that ordinance so we can support that police officer.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I knew this was coming up tonight, and I was actually talking to my dad, and I told him I was struggling with this idea of raising taxes. You know, again, even though it's a small amount, it seems like we've been doing a lot of small amounts through water and sewer and other things. You know, I was just looking earlier that my water bill's gone from about $65 every 2 months to over, you know, $100 every 2 months now. And the number of people in my house has gone down during that period of time. You know, it seems like we're doing a lot of increases and things, and I'm really struggling with this. I see the need for an officer, but, you know, then it goes back to the solid waste. You know, if we do this, then we're going to be raising solid waste, which means chances are our trash bills are going to go up. It seems like it's doing a cumulative effect. We're doing a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there, and our residents are ending up paying more and more, you know, because of all this.
Councilperson Olson, then Watson.
Aren't trash bills set by the state?
No. Mm-hmm.
I thought the percentage of increases that SFC can charge.
They're approved by the UTC.
UTC, okay.
Yeah. But the solid waste doesn't pass through to city residents.
Well they chose not to do that, I thought.
They have to go to the utilities.
Oh, sure.
Commission, but right. Taxes are passed through. Right. Yeah.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm even more in support of this, knowing who the chief is talking about, the detective, and she's a personal friend. I'm going to leave that to the chief's discretion, whether he wants that person on patrol or assisting in what we just heard is a rampant child abuse that we have in this town. So I can't see anything but support for this, and I will support it.
Councilperson Watson?
I'll be supporting it as well. Nobody wants to raise taxes, but things keep costing more for us, too. I mean, we talk about, you know, people keep paying more for everything. We keep paying more for everything, too, and we've got to have a little extra money. I'm not that keen on the fact that we're just going to automatically decide it goes for a police officer. But, you know, I do think we need the tax increase, and I'll be supporting the 3%.
Okay, further discussion on the motion?
Just clarification, Council Member. Goodrich, you asked if the 3% property tax and a 0.5 percentage point solid waste would pay for the officer, it comes up to about $119,000. Mm-hmm. So it would pay officer, spouse, two kids, up to $9,000 equipment.
Is that 0.5% mark or 1%?
What I heard was 3% property tax would bring in 64, and a 0.5% would bring in like 53 or 54.
Okay. So 0.5% on the solid waste tax.
I heard 0.5%, and okay. That's how I thought your question was, yeah. Councilmember Goodrich.
Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on this motion? I see none. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
Which?
We're doing a roll call vote, so a yay or nay.
Okay.
Or just the property tax, or also
just 3% property tax.
Just property tax.
This motion is 3%.
Is it 3%?
And then you're directing staff to bring forward next meeting a 0.5%.
I vote yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Now I'm confused. We've got two subjects in the motion?
No. That is confusing.
Sorry, the motion was 3%.
The motion before you is 3%. Staff has gotten the direction to bring forward.
I want to speak to that after the motion. Okay. Is passed or not passed, okay? And I vote aye.
Okay. Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Nay.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Nay.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Aye.
Passes 5-2.
Okay, Councilperson Hansen, you wanted to speak?
Solid waste tax is not the only arena that we can go to. We've also talked about increasing the utility tax on city utilities. And I believe that includes garbage, does it not?
No, so just water, sewer, storm.
Water, sewer, storm.
Our own utility.
The reason I bring that up is it's Ferndale residents paying for Ferndale services. A police officer is a Ferndale service. I don't know that Bellingham folks would be really, really happy to hear that their garbage taxes, their garbage is going to go up as a result of us wanting to fund yet another police officer. We're already funding some police officers out of the solid waste tax. There are other options besides the good old solid waste tax, which currently stands at 12% of gross revenues. That's the highest. If you call that a B&O, it's a pretty high B&O tax for the state, for Whatcom County.
Councilperson Watson and then Mutchler.
I thought that we were going to be talking about water sewer changes for the fourth operator. For the possibility of hiring a fourth operator, are we not going to talk about that? Does Public Works want the fourth operator for next year?
Yeah, that'll be next.
Okay. But he was talking about, you were talking about water and sewer, correct? Do you use for the police officer? Or am I getting my funds mixed up?
The tax on, the utility tax on water and sewer, telephone, power, and everything else is general fund money. It is not water and sewer money.
Okay. I'm just looking at the administrator's report.
Our finance director would like to respond to that.
And just, we did a quick study on possibly raising the water, the utility tax on water, sewer, storm from 6.5% to 7.5%. That would bring in $50,000. But it would mean $1.75 per month on the average water user, 12 units every 2 months. So $1.75 a month. $350 a month every 2 months would be the price for the average user.
Councilperson Mutchler, then Councilperson Holson.
Councilmember Hansen, clarify.
A quick reaction. I'm not suggesting that we use the utility tax increase or the solid waste increase, or saying that we should use one or the other. We should consider all as a package, because we have a couple of needs. First of all, we need the other half of the police officer. And the other thing I think we need to consider strongly is the water sewer operator. And we're going to have to consider where those funds might come from. And I am in support of getting there the right way. But we're the part way there for the police officer.
Okay, Councilperson Mutchler, then Olson.
Yeah, Councilmember Hansen kind of half clarified something I was concerned about, something he had said about Bellingham not caring or not wanting to support our police officer. I think that solid waste tax is distributed throughout the whole county and pretty much supports police departments and police officers and things like that anyway. I don't think they're going to really care, frankly.
Can you give us some other sales
tax? Yeah. I don't know who you talk to.
Councilperson Olson?
It's what John was saying is kind of we spend a lot of money on sales tax when we all go shop there that we don't get to have any say in either. So I kind of look at it as that's their sales tax. They do what they want. This is our trash tax. We do what we want, and it's a wash.
Well, not quite a wash.
Well, yeah. That's all we can do right now.
Okay, moving on to the agenda, trying to keep us back on track. The next public hearing is civil enforcement revision ordinance, and I'll bring our planning and community development director forward to explain that one. This one should be fairly short.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. We introduced this to you on Wednesday at committee. I'm passing around a minor edit to it. What we are proposing is a modification to Chapter 18.12, which is administration and enforcement. For the last generation or so, I have a couple of extra. For the last generation or so, we have had our zoning code, which is Title 18, violations of that code be criminal violations. We're proposing to change those violations, not what would be a violation, but what would be the penalty for a violation from a criminal violation to a civil violation. That will aid in the ease of enforcement. It also will limit the perspective of the city as being a totalitarian regime. What we are proposing here, however, is an amendment that came out of committee where some council members were wondering in 1812-290A, subsection 2, deliberate or reckless violators, the question was whether or not the city could shift the burden of proof from the city, which is demonstrating or needs to demonstrate that an infraction has occurred, to the accused, making it so that the accused, if it was reckless or deliberate, would need to demonstrate that, in fact, they were not guilty. We've talked to our city attorney, who recommended that rather than get into the weeds, I guess you could say, of talking about that, the D1 below that, the order to cease and desist, really already covers that. Where in the practical sense, if you identify a violation that is ongoing, that's reckless, that appears to be deliberate and would suggest then that they would like to keep going with it, the city would issue a cease and desist order, stopping them right there. As a component of lifting that cease and desist order, the city could include penalties not to exceed $2,000 per violation. This gets us to the same net result. It also is better reflective of the process that we would actually go to. So with the document that I handed out, which is the complete text of the ordinance, including the ordinance itself, staff recommends approval. Incidentally, Planning Commission also recommended approval.
Questions to staff, remembering this is a public hearing? Any questions for staff? No, seeing none. Okay, so at 7:21:08, I'll open up the public hearing portion of this. Would anyone in the audience like to come forward and speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing at 7:21:18. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, this is pretty straightforward, and I appreciate what the Planning Commission has done on this. I move motion to adopt Agenda Bill 12-11-003.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up on the item is the public hearing on the binding site plan ordinance.
Okay.
This is a public hearing.
As part of our code scrub, we are recommending approval, and so is the Planning Commission, of amending Chapter 17.36, which are binding site plans. Binding site plans are an alternative method of subdivision for commercial and industrial properties. They consist of really two parts, a general binding site plan and a specific binding site plan. As you can see in the text that we provided to you, the red line text, our primary effort is to distinguish between that general binding site plan and the more specific specific binding site plan. We feel that the nature of the amendments is intended to accomplish that goal. Planning Commission has recommended approval. The city attorney has reviewed it, and staff also recommends approval.
Questions of staff? Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. If someone already has a site plan on file or a general, that's okay, right? They're good to go? Okay.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions of staff? Seeing none, at 7:22:52, I'll open up the public hearing on this issue. Would anyone from the audience like to come over and speak on this issue? I'm not seeing anybody jump forward. So at 7:23:03, I'll close the public hearing. Councilperson Mutchler.
Again, I attend the Planning Commission meetings, and they've done their work well, and so has staff, and so it's easy to make motion that council adopt Agenda Bill 1211-004.
I second it.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, council.
We're right through that. Okay, we're on mayor reports. This Thursday night, if you're looking for some fun things to do at 7 o'clock in these chambers, is round two of the hearing examiner's decision on, what is the actual name of it now? It's Wacom Builders. Wacom Builders Asphalt Plant. We don't expect to be here till 10:30 at night like the last one, but this is where maybe you might be interested. This is where Wacom Builders will present what their improvements will be to allow the hearing examiner to grant them an extension of their business. So 7 o'clock in these chambers Thursday night. Now, I don't will one of you talk about the Boys and Girls Club breakfast.
Go ahead and do
okay,
it.
So we'll go beyond that. That's it for mayor reports. We'll move into council reports. Councilperson Hansen had his hand up first.
The Boys and Girls Club, excuse me, Boys and Girls Club breakfast is this Thursday morning at 7:30 at the Ferndale Event Center. They promised that they will be out by 9 a.m., and they're pretty good about meeting those promises. I know that sitting at the city table is the mayor, Kathy, and I, police chief and his wife. If there are others that would like to be included at the city table, let me know tonight, and I'll make sure that Molly knows. Otherwise, she's going to fill that with a couple of non-city.
What time is that again?
It's 7:30.
In the morning?
Surprise. Yes. And there is no charge. However, there is a donation basket.
Okay. Next up for council reports, I saw Councilperson Mutcher, then I have Councilperson Goodrich, and then Councilperson Ingram. So you guys are a chatty bunch here. Councilperson Mutcher.
Thank you. I don't talk music very much up here, but two things musical.
Couldn't resist that one. That was a vision of barrel.
I attended the symphony yesterday, Wacom Symphony Orchestra, and I every time I leave, I go, we have an amazing asset, Wacom County, and the Wacom Symphony Orchestra. And if you've not been, and I suspect some of you maybe haven't had the privilege, and yesterday it was just magical, and it usually is very, very good. They're currently in a hunt for a conductor, so they're trying out these people, and they had this guy, he couldn't have been 13 years old, conducted a symphony like Toscanini. It was just amazing. So go to the symphony sometime. Also, you all know the news about Semiahmoo is shutting the doors for who knows how long. So if you ever had this great desire to hear a half-decent piano player in a little restaurant up there, this is my last month up at Stars. And I've met some of you
Saturday
at that restaurant. So Saturday nights, and that's it for me.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Yeah, I just wanted to share with council some information that I got at the EDC meeting. I made copies and pass it out. This kind of shows where we are as far as Ferndale is in relationship to sales tax to the rest of the state. It's basically two versions. It's front and back. Two versions of the same thing, just a little different formats and numberings and stuff. But you can see the bottom line is Ferndale's 141st out of 281. Burlington's number one in capturing sales tax. This led to a real good discussion at the EDC meeting, and our Community Development Director Yori came up with a, I thought, was a brilliant observation. Yes, I said brilliant. We talk about growth and bringing retail sales dollars to the city, and then we say, well, gee, nothing's been built in 30 years in downtown and stuff. What he brought up was the fact, well, maybe we need to look at what type of businesses do we want. Do we want the Walco Sam Club type things to come to Ferndale? Do we want a Marriott Hotel here in Ferndale? What do we really want here? And then let's look at our fee structures and things like that to say, are we set up to encourage that particular type of business to come to town, or are we discouraging that type of business to come to town? And then we have something that's measurable, and that was the key that he brought up. Right now we have a nebulous cloud. We want more retail sales dollars. But we really haven't gotten to the specifics of what do we really want and how are we going to attract that to come here to town and make and then look and we can look in 2-3 years and say, have we accomplished our goal? Yes, we have a Marriott hotel now. Or we have the large box, or we have, you know, a whole bunch of, like it was brought up by some of the EDC members, smaller businesses. You know, the Ace Hardware type things, where there are local people opening small businesses here in town, where they live here in Ferndale and they have their business in Ferndale. Is that what we want to attract here? But I thought that was an important point to put up. Instead of this nebulous cloud, that maybe we need as a council need to get specific and say, this is what we really want, and are we looking and favorable to that? So I just wanted to share that from the EDC meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councilperson Ingram?
I would probably defer to our chamber director if you would like to come up and announce some important upcoming dates for the month of November that are really coming up fast.
Here's Guy.
That'll teach you to come to a meeting.
Yeah, right.
And stay all time.
Mm-hmm. The quarterly report.
You could have left 5 minutes
remember
ago.
Remember the dates. So, community tree lighting will be Friday, November 30th. It is in November this year. That will probably be 5 to 6, and Old Fashioned Christmas is November 30th, December 1st, and December 2nd, I believe. Yep. The other one, I don't know if we want to announce to full...
Well, Christmas lights go up on the 24th.
Right.
Of November?
Inspection
correct.
At the Batcave on the 17th?
Well, I was going to talk to you about that tomorrow.
Okay.
But typically, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we can use as many qualified volunteers as possible to go hang the lights. And the reason I say qualified volunteers is
you saw
that,
what happened.
That okay. thing, just, that happens yeah. a lot because it's generally raining when we're plugging in lights yeah. to the sockets.
Wayne about to himself up one year.
Yes, so. Was that all the dates that hit them all?
I think you got them all.
Are we covered under that insurance liability? If so,
that's not a city issue. We're not
already. Not a city issue. It's a chamber.
Everybody but you.
That's a chamber's problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's okay. That's the biggie. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
So you let us into it and told us there's another biggie that you're not going
to
tell us.
You don't get to know.
What? Something about a back gate.
You used to disappoint.
No, I know what the back gate is. You said it. We're not prepared to announce that just yet to the whole group.
Are you engaged?
That's how you started it.
Well, what I was going to say is generally I don't like to promote the, hey, come help us, get on ladders and get wet and plug stuff into what might be faulty
to this
outlets.
Particular group you don't like?
What's that?
To this particular group you don't like?
Why have you suddenly changed where you're beyond begging?
What's that?
You really should have left 5 minutes ago.
Right, I should have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Actually, it's something work-related. The Ferndale Public Market will have their first board meeting for the new board next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in the Boys and Girls Club. Anyone is welcome to come?
6:30 p.m. next Tuesday at the Boys and Girls Club?
6:30. Yeah, on the 13th, 6:30 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay. Any other council reports? No.
Okay, staff reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Well,
thank you for paying attention.
What? Now we start to get Gettysburg address.
Example for the high school students not to answer that way in class. Community development director.
Yes, the decision card that you talked about earlier for the urban growth area, wanted to give you a really quick update. We're not prepared to come up with any conclusions till 2016, but unlike last time when we had about 3 months to start and then finish, we're starting right now. So in early 2013, we're going to be running through the methodology of the population allocations and doing a kind of dry run to see whether technically it makes sense. Once we have that, we are going to then bring that methodology to the county council as well as the various city councils to make sure that everybody's on board with it, show what that test run did, and then be able to work on it over the next couple of years. So that's progress compared to last time.
Clerk's Department.
Council, last council meeting, I noted that I had submitted my application as a certified clerk, as you had graciously required that of me within 5 years. I did get notified back that as of January 22nd, I will be a certified municipal clerk. I have to wait. I have all the points now, but I have to wait until I'm a member for 2 years. They're making me wait for 2 years.
Or 21.
So, you have to be a member of the International Institute of Municipal Clerks for 2 years in order for them to certify you. They want money from you for 2 years, basically.
It's just somebody to gauge the college you was
passing. So, January 22nd, I will be certified.
Certifiable?
Public Works Department.
Tough crowd.
Police Department. Okay. So, motion
to adjourn.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. No.